listening to Going Global for Spirit with Elaine Ireland on bbsradio.com. Trusting that without holding a breath for 2 minutes. The number one worldwide internet talk radio network on the planet. This is Going Global for Spirit with Elaine Ireland. Let me give you some numbers. Actually, get a pen or a piece of paper, pencil, something. I'm going to give you a U.S. number and a Canadian number in a minute to call in, because I'm going to be on the show by myself today, and I really would like some company. It's fun to sit here and talk to the air, but I would much rather talk to someone at the other end of the line. Elka was supposed to be on tonight. We had to reschedule her for September the 12th, and she sends her apologies. She just got back from Iceland and is an extended vacation into the real cold parts of the world. She is a rune expert. She's pretty much self-taught, but she's just absolutely fabulous. If you're not familiar with runes, they're actually the Nordic alphabet, and they have symbols on them that look really, really interesting. If you don't know what they mean, they kind of look just like scribbles, but it's R-U-N-E-S. I was going to give you her her website to go check out, and now all of a sudden I can't find her website. It's Elka, E-L-K-A. I believe it's Elka. It's rune, R-U-N-E. KENNING.com. Rune Keening is Keening is what it's called, and I think it's www.runekeening.com. But if you just typed in Elka, E-L-K-A, runes, she'll pop up for you. It's a really nice website. Besides, it's really pretty. Okay, that phone number is for the United States. You'll call 1-877-270-8714. Let me give that to you again. 1, of course, 877-270-8714. In Canada, we are back up and running as far as the phone line is concerned, so give us a call on 1-888-284-3264. One more time, 888-284-3264. 1-888-284-3264. Okay. Elka's not going to be with us, but she will be with us on September the 12th. We will be looking forward to her vacation stories, and she may have some interesting and wonderful information about some projects of hers that I know a little bit about, but I won't spill the beans just yet. So we'll be looking for that. The questions for tonight, those of you that listen occasionally know that I like to throw these questions at you and give you some thought on it, and then you can call in and we can talk about it if you would like, or you can ask questions. Which do you enjoy most, sunrise or sunset, and why? Do you feel it? Do you hear it? Do you smell it? Do you sort of sunset affect you? Is that a childhood memory? Is that was that when you had an aha moment in your life, or something really important happened, or something sad or something joyful? Give us a call on that. And thus far, what is the proudest moment in your life? Thus far, what is the proudest moment in your life? That could be the birth of a child, the accomplishment of winning a contest, having that aha moment. I've had people tell me, oh, it's when I realized, yada, yada, yada. So give me a call and think about those things with us this evening. Can you believe that Mercury, for you people that are interested in astrology, let me read to you, I have this wonderful little book. It's called the 2007 Daily Planetary Guide. It's about the size of a Reader's Digest, maybe a little bit smaller. It's by Llewellyn, and I always say that name wrong, L-L-E-W-E-L-L-Y-N, Astrology Date Book. And it's your best opportunity periods from Jim Chauvin. S-H-A-W-V-A-N, and I apologize if I did not say that correctly. I found this. I tripped over it literally in a bookstore, and it has just been a great little guide. Gives you, you can write your appointments in it. It's that big. But every day it gives you all the little astrology symbols and the time that it goes in and goes out. Mercury finally leaves its storm on July the 18th, speeding up to more than 40 degrees per day. Life becomes somewhat more normal. Oh, thank goodness. Kramer Wetzel, who is our astrologer here, K-R-A-M-E-R Wetzel, he has, you can find him at www.astrofish.net. Remember that fish and net go together. I know just enough astrology to get me through a tarot deck and get me in trouble. I could not, by any stretch of the imagination, do a chart. But I do know enough to know when Mercury is misbehaving. And he tells me about 2 weeks ago that this has been an especially difficult Mercury for some reason, Mercury in retrograde. And for you astrology buffs out there, maybe some of you that are can do charts, call in and tell us why this one has been so difficult. I have heard absolute, horror stories about Mercury in retrograde, and it seems that this one, and Kramer says this one has been really, 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 really tough, really tough. Venus goes into retrograde on July the 27th and remains until September the 8th. Expect lack of clarity in matters of love and relationship. Good old Venus. Kramer is going to be back to visit with us about that, and plus Saturn goes into Virgo somewhere around the early part of September. So Kramer will be here September the 5th to talk to us about that, about Venus. But those of you sigh a breath of relief and enjoy our Mercury being out of retrograde, and I apologize because I don't know when the next Mercury is, but Kramer has given us a fair warning that it won't be as difficult as this one has been. So, moving forward, yay, yay, Mercury's gone, yay, yay. Catavino, a wonderful psychic who is based in New York. She's internationally known, and I mean internationally known, as Angel Eyes. She's going to be with us next Wednesday. She's also coming back from some neat travels that she'll be sharing with us. She does a lot of readings by phone as well. So you can check her out at Kats, K-A-T-S, angeleyes.com. Call go in and meet this lady, so to speak, before she's on the air. Have some questions for her. August is Tarot month. It happens to be my birthday month, so I'm indulging myself. And I'm having just Tarot people and Tarot authors, Tarot energy on the entire month. You'll have to put up with that for four weeks, but I say put up with. I'm hoping that it will be fun for you. And again, Elka will be back September the 12th, so put that on your schedule. She's our rune lady. And what do you guys want to talk about tonight? Excuse me. What do you enjoy most, sunrise or sunset? And thus far, what is your proudest moment in your life? And what do you look for in the future as far as what you want to do and how you want to spend that wonderfully prideful moment? Let's look tonight at... what is this? This is the seventh month of the year. Can you believe that July? Excuse me, folks. Something is trying to settle in my throat. We'll have to not let that happen. This is the 18th of July. It's hard for me to believe that this year is already more than half gone. It seems strange to think that Christmas is right around the corner. You know, they say when July the 30th hits, it's all of a sudden December the 1st. Mother used to say Halloween, that the time spent from between July and July the 4th and Halloween, just she said that almost there were no months in between, which I think is an interesting observation, because looking back as a child, it kind of does seem that way. Of course, that meant that we had a wonderful summer, and we had started school again, which I wasn't always crazy about, but wouldn't complain about too much. And then all of a sudden, here in Texas, believe it or not, in central Texas, it was cool in the evening on Halloween, and the ghouls were out, and you could actually tolerate a costume of some sort. So, the direct number to call in the USA is 1-877-270-8714. Canada, 1-888-284-3264. This has been an interesting week for me. I also do real estate for you folks out there. I'm associated with Keller Williams here in Central Texas, and not been able to drive for about the last month and a half. So you can imagine a real estate agent not being able to drive. But what that has done for me, not being able to drive, has allowed me, and I almost said forced me, but has allowed me to be at home. I can work out of my home. I can work on my computer. I just can't get behind the wheel of a car and go anywhere for a while. I won't be able to until the first part of August, but so it's kind of nice to be chauffeured around occasionally. But it's put me in a position where I can do things that I otherwise would not have made myself do or allowed myself to do. I would have gotten up every morning and been out the door by 7:30 years before and not come home until sometimes after dark doing my real estate stuff or readings or things associated with psychic work. But I got to stay home, and I got to concentrate on rebuilding a website. And for those of you that were not with me last week, we had some really nasty things happen behind the scenes with my website, and my webmaster has completely torn it down. That's ElaineIrelandPsychic.com. It's rebuilding slowly. She's putting it together beautifully. And that, in its own way, allowed us to go ahead and do the things that we kept saying we were going to do, and again, she would be too busy or I wouldn't get to her what she needed. So with all of this forced being at home business, it's been so productive, and I was telling a friend of mine about that today, friend/client. It's been a wonderful opportunity to rebuild and to do things that I've had on my list that took a good chunk of time. There's a special program with Keller Williams. In real estate, it's called Top Producer, and it's like having all of your day schedule things plus a business management plus everything. It runs your professional life and part of your personal life. But it's complicated to get into, or it has seemed so to me, and I've put it off and put it off and put it off and yet paid for it monthly, month after month after month. So it made me sit down and go through, or allowed me to sit down and go through every single file for the last 7 years and put in all that data. And it's been wonderful. It has been such a freeing experience. The website, Top Producer, doing things for my tarot kit that I'm developing, getting video work done with David Griffin, who's fabulous, and doing some uploading for podcast stuff. It's allowed me to do the things without feeling like I'm cheating on something else. Because I started doing things, and I just felt like I had to just do them until I crashed, finish them. I start here, I have a middle, and I have an end, and I don't stop. But I learned that I could stop. I could stop in the middle of a project and finish up a little tidbit over here. Not that I would get bored, but I would just feel like I needed to go finish something over there, or someone would call, do something else, draw my attention, and it was okay to give myself that permission to stop and start, but yet with a goal intended for, say, an 8-hour period or 12-hour period. It's been wonderful. So for those of you out there that are forced to be at home, maybe you broke a leg, maybe you, for whatever reason, you know, just get into a project and do something you haven't done before, or haven't allowed yourself, or even made yourself do, and use that time to read and to meditate or to do your projects. Or a girlfriend of mine called and she said, you know, that happened to me about 3 years ago, and my daughter in college had all this stuff she wanted to shred, and she wouldn't. She thought that was such a waste of time. So I said, bring it over here to me. So her daughter brought her shredder and five boxes of papers, and she sat there. She was having some back problems, so she could lean over and she could adjust her movement. And she said, actually, it ended up being pretty good exercise. So she sat there and shredded all of that stuff. Learned very quickly she was going to have bags nearby to pick it all up. But I'm just so grateful to the universe that I've been able to stay home and without any guilt whatsoever do the things that I otherwise would not have done for a long time to come. So I have to say a big thank you to the universe. A big, big thank you. Now, getting back to July, it's the seventh month. I'm going to remember this summer as being June and July, having been at home. And truth be spoken, I probably won't be behind the wheel of a car until probably the second week in August, so I still have time. I can clean out some more drawers. I can do some yard work in the middle of this Texas heat. It's horrible. But, again, Central Texas has had a lot of rain, so it hasn't been... It's just been like you take a shower, and then you go outside, stand for 2 minutes, and you have another shower. That sounds inviting. I'm going to toss some cards and see what's going on here for the next week. For my little part of the world, we're going to ask for Central Texas. I would love to be reading for one of you folks out there. Phone numbers for that in the U.S. is 1-877-270-8714. Canada, and I'd love to hear from some of my Canadian buds up there, 1-888-284-3264. And should a young lady by the name of Michelle be listening in, call. We haven't talked. We did a fair together in Las Vegas a couple of, 4 years ago now. Delightful lady. She's a tea reader, and she's a very, very, very good one. Just a good psychic, period, but great tea reader. You don't see many tea readers around at fairs. It's kind of hard for them to bring their cups and the loose tea and have hot water brewing and that sort of thing. Some hotels or wherever, event centers won't let you do that. But in this case, we got to do that, and we were just delighted because you, as the person being read for, is supposed to drink the tea, and then you let the tea leaves settle where they will, and then, of course, Michelle or a reader will do that. For those of you that know Kat Darden, get Kat Darden to do a tea reading for you. She's really very good. She doesn't use tools like tarot cards or anything like that. She just uses her psychic ability, and she's, again, great. But if you can get to her to do a tea reading, she's wonderful. Okay, we're going to throw what's happening here in Central Texas. I'm only going to throw about 7 or 8 cards and see what comes up. 7 cards can be considered a wish card, yes, or a yes or no, and I don't have a yes or no answer, a question. I just want some general information about the next week, so what's going to be happening here in Central Texas, and it'll give us some insight. I know that's really broad. So what usually happens is that the cards will tell you what's going on around you, and yes, it's hard to read for yourself. Ooh, we get some more rain. Got 3 of swords going here. Oh, swords. Of course, that doesn't always mean strife. It can mean just good old-fashioned mental energy. Got some decisions to make. Education coming. Not having to work near as hard to stay on top. That's the 7 of Wands. And the 5 of Wands also is not quite in reverse. It's not quite the time to plan. Got a lot of spiritual growth going on. Okay, this is very much, instead of just a broad situation, this is for me, which is... Surprise, surprise. The Wheel of Fortune in reverse, not having to do near as much research for what I'm wanting to do, which is good. 2 of Swords, lots of decision-making, and this is important. I think the 2 of Swords should have been a major arcana card. It's that important. The gray-covered figure is sitting there, a female sitting on a bench. Well, androgynous, really. And with a sliver of a moon up there. And if she's blindfolded, she's got her arms crossed at the wrist over her heart chakra, holding swords in each hand. Lots of gray, which is wisdom and knowledge. And she's got a decision to make, so she's trying not to be distracted by emotions or visually distracted. Because, you know, not everything you see is really what's happening, even in real time, in real life. So I always tell people that she could throw her hand towards Hawaii and her life would be one way, or she could throw her arms through towards Alaska. Obviously, you're going to have a very different lifestyle. But so it's an important card. It's the decision that you make can truly affect the rest of your life. Page of Swords, really good ideas. Really, really good ideas. And my webmaster has come up with some fabulous ones. So we've been doing some kicking around and experimenting a little bit, which has been fun. The Five of Wands is a planning card for me anyway, and when it's in reverse, now is not the time to be doing major plans. It's a time to reflect and a time to gather information. And usually when this card comes up in reverse, it, for me anyway, as an interpreter, it means you don't have all the information, or maybe all the information isn't even available. So it's not good to act on what you have, but to gather the information and kind of put it away, take notes, be aware of what is usable, and maybe sometimes a little snippet more of information will send you down a different path than what you expected. Would love to do some readings tonight. Give me a call. I've missed doing readings. We have a psychic fair here in Austin coming up the weekend of August the 11th at let me see. I always get that hotel confused. It's the Radisson Hotel Austin North, my goodness, on Middle Fiskville Road. That's the weekend of August the 11th, and Saturday and Sunday, usually in their great big ballroom. Lots of psychics, lots of vendors, lots of good energy and fun, lots of lectures, always, both Saturday and Sunday. I can't remember what Latrell is charging to get in now, $6, I think. Don't hold me to that. And if you sign out on Saturday, you get back in, you get in free on Sunday. Not a bad deal. They just have to have your name on the list. We open at 10, lectures start about 11, and go about every 30 minutes or every half hour. All the way to closing time, I think they stop the lectures about 5. We usually start tearing down about 6. So come join us. If you've never been to a fair and you're in this part of the world, this is a good one to come to. Lots of nice, friendly people, and it's not so big that you get so overwhelmed. 877-270-8714, Canada. 1-888-284-3264. Let me give you those questions again, just for grins and giggles, as a friend of mine used to say. Which do you enjoy most, sunrise or sunset, and why? And thus far, what is your proudest moment in this lifetime? And should ask why. That could be that aha moment. Could be when you got married. Could be for me, it was getting my college graduation, my college degree. I was just, this Leo was so proud, she was busting. That was a struggle for me. Not dumb, but I'm not the smartest one either. So it's a little bit of a struggle. Plus, I had kids, which was, don't want to use them as an excuse, but anybody that's gone to school with children, you know it can be a little harder. You got to pay attention to them and can't really do much until they've gone to bed. But I enjoyed every minute of it. I got to study at the kitchen table with my youngest one, and it was really fun. It was fun in its own way and hard in others, but again, those are days that I wouldn't trade for the world. So, thus far, what is your proudest moment in this lifetime? And which do you enjoy most, sunrise or sunset? You know, that's a hard one for me, sunrise or sunset. I really had to stop and think about that one. I think part of my life it's been sunrise. I just so enjoy early morning. As I've gotten older, I've become more of a little sleep-in person. People laugh when I say that because I get up about 7 and that's sleeping in. But I just really like the neighborhoods. I've been lucky to live in some really quaint, sweet neighborhoods and open the door and just kind of take in the sounds and the sun coming up. And, oh, when I'm at the beach, I have to be up before sunrise. I have to be headed to the beach. Coffee cup in hand. I love staying at these little motel areas instead of these big fancy hotels because a lot of times you can go. They have outside entry with stairs on them, and you can sit at the top of the stairs and hopefully watch the sun come up with a hot cup of coffee in your hand and everybody else is asleep but you. So it's really, I love that. Or being on a balcony somewhere, taking pictures, enticing the seagulls to come visit with me. I love sunrise on the beach. But as I've gotten a little older, sunset has been a very significant, almost like a period at the end of the day. Okay, this day is coming, the daytime is coming to a close, not an end. And I'm not real crazy about our clock. I don't like putting numbers on man-made hours, and supposedly the day ends at midnight. And yet, I see it as one continual, we just simply go from light to day, because from light to dark, because our sun disappears. Not because we've assigned an hour that says so. So I've really enjoyed watching the sunset, knowing that this is just the end of our daylight for this period of time, regardless of the numbers on a clock, and now we get to go into the dark, quiet time where we can sit down and hopefully be at rest, hopefully at peace, a time when nighttime generally pulls people together that belong in the core of our lives, our family, our friends, sometimes being by ourselves and being able to spend time with us as a spirit within the shell that we call a body. And it allows us to do that, sometimes forces us to do that. I know I have clients and friends that don't like being by themselves. Maybe that's why they need to be. I have friends and clients both that, because of emotional or mental illness, they're afraid of, that sounds a little strong, mental illness, but disrupted. They don't like nighttime. And they'll go around and turn every light on in the house, whether they need them or not. They need the light. And this Leo, me, I need my light too. But I've come to peace with dark side of our, what humans call day. So sunset has become very important to me in a signal, in the form of a signal that I get to experience another part of a 24-hour period. In spite of the fact that I don't like numbers on our time. Now, maybe in 2 or 3 years, I'll like the sunrises again. As my mom got older, she so looked forward to sunrise. She wished in her final 6 or 7 years that the sun would never set. She so loved daylight. She loved watching the flowers and the animals and all those sweet things that grandmas and great-grandmas are supposed to like. She so enjoyed. And that's when she got to be with people. She didn't get to be with people at night. But people were in and out of her home during the day. And she was just such a people lover. I suppose she was an entertainer in the earlier part of her life. So she had her share of nighttime people. She traveled all over the world as a young woman with the USO shows and during the war times and after. So she had a nice mixture of daylight and nighttime people, but her later days she wanted only daylight, only a light streaming in. And because we were military, we were early risers anyway. Dad always had to be up and gone by 4:35 in the morning, so they'd been up a good 2 hours by the time he walked out the door. So those are old habits to break. and I guess I got to enjoy some of that and visit with them. And since youngsters couldn't drink coffee, I got to drink hot tea. And the first time my dad put a cup of coffee down in front of me, I was shocked. I was 17 years old. Could not believe it, that he actually offered me a cup of coffee. And yet, being Italian, we had wine everywhere. Good old, plain old wine. My parents believed in introducing wines and alcohols to us as kids so it would not be some big mystery. And we wouldn't do something stupid and dangerous when we left home. I never cared for either one in excess, one way or the other, but it was always Chianti, just a sip or two as a kid, with never lunch, but always dinner. It was always available if we wanted it. Frankly, I didn't like the taste of it all that much. I didn't acquire a nice taste for wine until I was probably in my 30s. And as much as I like wine, I can't drink white, red wine anymore, but I do enjoy a glass of wine every now and then. And I can remember my mom and my dad standing on the back porch watching the sunset every now and then. So some nice memories associated with both sunrises and sunsets. Which do you enjoy most, sunrise or sunset? And tell me why. And thus far, what is your proudest moment in your life? Well, like I said, I think I would have to, among them, the graduation, college graduation. Another one was watching my youngest son literally walk into the sunset. You parents out there, you'll appreciate this, especially if you have a military person in your family. I was fortunate enough when he went in the Air Force that he was in San Antonio, which is not a very long ride from Austin. And when he was in basic, he was not allowed to see anyone until like 6 weeks or something like that. I don't remember. And a group of his buddies, I wasn't sure of the date, but a group of his buddies called me and said, "Miss E, we're going to go to San Antonio. You want to come with us?" And I said, "Can we see him?" And he said, "Sure, we just can't touch him." And they explained to me on the way up there that there was to be no show of affection, and we could only see him at a certain place, a rec center kind of place, and only for about 6 hours. And there was a carload of us. And I said, "Sure, let's go." Got up there and got to share a Coke and a candy bar and visit and have a good time, walk around the base. He showed us where things are. And normally you would have a group of young people like that joking and hitting each other and cutting up and giving hugs, and he wasn't supposed to do that. Well, come some sunset, approaching sunset, they made an announcement that certain groups of people were to report back to their barracks or work or whatever, and he had to go back to his barracks. Of course, he had on his, not his dress uniform, but his work uniform, all starched and obviously uncomfortable. And we made a circle around him and managed to sneak a hug. And he literally, they did some sort of music over the system, and he literally stood up at attention, and at attention, walked into the sunset, at attention, full march, like a robot, with his hands clenched into a fist form. Did not look back, literally walking right into the sunset. It just broke my heart. Broke my heart, but at the same time, I was very proud of the decision that he had made. He went on to have quite a career in the Air Force, and proud of him for that, too. We were lucky. He's home, and he's safe. And for those of you that cannot say that, my heart goes out to you. My son has lost a number of his friends to peacetime as well as, quote-unquote, wartime activities. They were on planes, either Black Hawk helicopters or reconnaissance, and so he was all over the world, and there were some scary moments, but I thank Spirit for bringing him home. And for those of you that are not as fortunate, or those of you that your loved ones did come home, but maybe not in one piece, physically or emotionally, mentally, my heart goes out to you. We've shared that in Keith's life, so I understand. I send my wishes for you. But that's one of my proudest moments. Let's see. Pride is a difficult word to work with. There are religions that tell us not to be prideful, not to, because pride in some ways is a judgment. Pride misused can be very arrogant. And I understand that attitude. I certainly do. But I think pride is also, can be a nice way of telling ourselves what we've done and perhaps how we've done it. It gives us a sense of where we're going and what we need to do. And it's a judgment if we're not careful, because we can judge ourselves very easily and say we're not good enough, or we need to do something over again when we really don't, when it's okay, whether it's an act or a piece of art or that sort of thing. So we do have to watch pride, but I don't think we need to give it away, and I think it's something we should share. Pride often is a sense of accomplishment, and if used properly, can be inspirational for other people. Now, if you think I'm incorrect or you have a different opinion on that, I would love to hear you. And that phone number is 1-877-270-8714 for the USA. For Canada, 1-888-284-3264. What do you want to talk about tonight? I'm talking to the air. Elka was supposed to be with us this evening. For those of you that are late joining us, Elka is our rune lady. She will be with us on September the 12th. She has come back recently, just like the last 48 hours, from a very long Nordic trek, quote-unquote, vacation. So she is didn't realize when she set this time frame that she would be this... she says, out of whack. So she begged off, and that was the first time that I could get her back on. So she'll be with us on September the 12th. Meanwhile, you can go to her website, E-L-K-A is her name, and you can probably just type that in and type in rune, R-U-N-E, reader, or keening, K-E-N-N-I-N-G, and find her. She has a really pretty website, picture on her and a little bit of history about herself and what runes are. Next week we're going to have Kathleen Avino. Kat is based out of New York, and she's known as Angel Eyes. You can find her on Kat's, K-A-T-S, Angel Eyes, with an S there, .com. She has a nice little website also. She's out of New York, Brooklyn, but she reads for people literally all over the world. So, check both of these ladies out. I think you will be entertained. Kathleen is going to be offering readings next week as well. So have your questions ready for her as well. So what do you guys want to talk about now? I would love to hear from you. I thought maybe Manny would have something to say about pride. You know, he doesn't include it in this book. I'm really surprised. Manny has a book of answers. The ultimate oracle is you. A book of answers. Manny, pure heart. You can find him. Oh, dear. I think it's I for C for you, and it's the numbers 4. I for C for you, with just a U, not a Y-O-U. Interesting book. It's thick, and it's essays on different words, and I could have sworn I saw pride in here, but he did not do a thing on pride. I'm surprised. There are tons of other words in here, tons and tons, and I understand he's working on a second book, So I'm looking forward to seeing that one, too. It's one of those books where you can just kind of open just about any page, read an essay, and then comments from spirit. So it's an interesting book. I encourage you to find it in your store or order it off of his website. Okay. Thus far, what is your proudest moment? I was trying to think of some more of mine. A lot of people don't know that I have a profoundly retarded child, my oldest one. So I had the spectrum of one that was profoundly retarded and one that was kind of off the charts. But with my oldest one, with a child like that, and I will not call him handicapped. He's in his 40s now and healthy. We weren't even supposed to bring him home. And he's just such a happy, I know, people out there go, how do they know happy? Oh, they do. He's just an amazing young man, and not just because he's mine. I see him relate with children younger than him, and that just, and even more profoundly retarded than he is. He knows sign language, and I don't even know how many words now. He communicates in his own way. He communicates with, can't talk like you and I can talk, but he has guttural communication and body communication. He'll come get you when he's hungry. He'll come get you when he wants to go and climb in the tub when he wants to take a bath, that sort of thing. And I can remember all of his moments. We were so, there's that word again, proud of him. We worked for months sitting on the floor, and getting him to sit up straight on the floor was an accomplishment within itself. Getting him to sit was an accomplishment. But rolling a ball back and forth, just a little ways, and the first time he actually took his hand and pushed back to us, I was in tears for hours. And he would be proud of himself. He would giggle and laugh. He knew that he had accomplished something. He knew it, and his reaction told us that he understood that, because he would show his frustration too. And of course, nowadays we know so much about autism. I've often wondered about that, and how it applied to him. But for now, they call him profoundly retarded, and I just kind of grin and say, "Yeah, right." Let me have you spend a day with him and see, and others like him. Just, they're an amazing group of people, amazing group of people. If you just give them half a chance and observe them and spend time with that clan that they've put themselves in this lifetime, they group together, and he lives in a wonderful home setting, not an institution, a home setting, with no more than 8 residents in a home. And 24-hour care, and they go to school every day, regardless of their capacity. They go bowling. They have nights out. They're treated as though they are like every other kid or every other adult, and they respond beautifully. That technique of growth is just fabulous. So all of those moments we had when he was little bitty until we placed him in a home. He stayed with us as long as he possibly could, as long as we could physically keep him safe. And I hate to say manage, but that's pretty much what it is, manage him. That was a long time, a very long time. And all those daily prideful moments, such accomplishments, just wonderful. So tell me what yours were. And, of course, what is your favorite? Sunrise, sunset. Why has it changed over the years like it has for me? I love talking to the air, folks, but I really would love to do a reading for someone. Got my cards out. Ready to read. Elka would be with us September the 12th. Catavino, Angel Eyes, Miss Little Angel Eyes, and she is a little bitty thing, will be with us next week. Have your questions ready for Kat. Check out their websites, Elka, Rune Keening, RuneKenning, and catsangeleyes.com. They've both got nice websites I think you would enjoy. Let's see. Let's just pull a card here. Wish you guys could see these cards. I've used them for such a long time, I've had to put scotch tape around the edges. I've always said that if I ever designed a set of cards, they would look kind of like an hourglass with a little indention on each side already and maybe reinforced a little bit, because if you could see these cards, my hands are too short to do fold cards from end to end. So I shuffle cards from side to side. So these they look like an hourglass, sort of, and I've had to reinforce them. Okay, I've been kind of shuffling. Let's see what the cards have to say, just for grins and giggles. For what or for whom? Call in and give me an answer. Give me a question. I'd love to share an answer with you. Hold on just a second. I'm going to just pull one card here, and it comes up with career success in reverse. Two of Wands. I had Swords a while ago. Here's Two of Wands. This is a man that is obviously set. He has standing on a veranda, looking place, overlooking a lake and land, has a globe in his hand that looks like the world, and he's holding a stick or a wand in one hand and another one behind him. And it implies that he's waiting for his ship to come in. He has the world. He's successful. He's well-dressed. When it's in reverse, as I just pulled it, it says potential. As a reader now, you interpreters out there, you've all got your interpretation. But for me, it means potential. Let's talk about that word interpreter. For those of you that are tarot card folks, or even if you read a straight deck is something I cannot read. I have tried and tried and tried. But an interpreter is just that. And there are die-hard tarot readers that say, gotta go by the book, gotta go by the book. Well, there are thousands of tarot books. Pick a language. And there are many books within that language. Kind of like the Bible. We know the Bible has been written and translated, and even from language to language, much less from the original language to another. You know, how many letters did they drop, which could have meant or added as they scribed from one page or one book to the next? So tarot's kind of the same thing. You can, I tell students all the time, go find the oldest books you can find. Yes, they may be a little bit harder to read. Go find the oldest text you can find and study those, read those, make copy of the pages if they will allow you to do so. Go to a library that you can't check out books in, the old libraries, and read. Go way back, as far as you can go back, and study the old tarot text. And sit with older folks that have been reading for years and years and years. If you have to be a die-hard, I only read the tarot, I'm not using my psychic ability, I'm not using my intuitive ability, I'm just reading the cards, then do it that way. Because in today's world, if you have purchased a book that was written in the last 20 years, you've purchased a book that was either made up, maybe that's a strong word, or interpreted from what's already there. Because that's how most of us learn. We learn by word of mouth. And when I say made up, maybe I should say inspired. That's a softer way of saying it. Because there are books out there, tarot books, that were channeled, where the information came from spirit. It worked for that person. It was very accurate. Of course, I look at those as being very much a psychic ability that's being used. So look for the ancient information. When you're studying anything in metaphysics, try to go as old as you can. Go backwards as old as you can. And then study forward. Because we do have our modern-day interpretation. You know, now some of the houses will have things like telephone communication. A fun can be translated into something else. So we do have our modern day interpretation. And I'm not saying don't use it, just be aware of the roots of what the symbols mean and so forth. The colors mean, whatever deck you're using, and there are some beautiful ones out there. I happen to use the Rider-Waite deck because I find it, frankly, the most complicated. If you know of a more complicated one, by all means, call me and tell me. I would love to know. There are some beautiful decks out there, crystal decks. There's some with over 100 cards in them. The Rider-Waite deck has 78, but there's, I think, one called a crystal deck. It has 90-something cards in it. Call me and tell me. I don't remember. I have a number of decks. I've seen that one, and I've read about it. The angel cards are just beautiful. There are medieval decks, like the King Arthur decks. They're just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, and they're all wonderful in their own way. There are even decks of cards that have pictures on them, photographs, that are taken of real people in particular formations that tell the story of that translation of, say, the Two of Cups or something. So, by all means, explore. Read the old text and then move forward. Don't have many minutes left, folks. Just about 3 minutes, maybe four. Would love to hear from somebody. Is the world out there? I know you are. Thus far, what is your proudest moment in this lifetime? What do you enjoy most, sunrise or sunset? If you can't answer those tonight, call me next week. Next week we'll have Kat Avino, good Italian name, Avino. Kat just lost her dad recently, so she's learning about that part of life and has a lot to tell us about her life and how she lives and how she got started in all of this and maybe why. Would love to hear your stories. How you got interested in metaphysics, what you're doing to expand your knowledge and your spiritual growth, what teachers you might be having, what mentors you would like to share with us that we don't know about in different parts of the world. I'm always interested in having wonderful people that are willing to share their gifts with the world, either one by one or in groups. Linda Drake is one that, like John Holland, can stand up in front of thousands of people and tell their stories and do readings and give you spirits information. So always interested in folks that take on students that are willing to be a mentor and take on that responsibility of sharing their knowledge and encouraging that person to grow in their own way. Elka will be with us in September the 12th. Kat Avino will be here next week. To do readings, go to their websites and look them over and by all means have some questions for us for next week. Nobody called for a tarot reading tonight. I have to tell you, world, I'm a little disappointed. I am a little disappointed. I'll get over it. I would love to hear your cheerful voices and know that you're out there and that you're listening. Sorry we haven't had guests for the last couple of weeks, but it just kind of worked out that way. Maybe it was the universe's way of challenging me to see if I can really keep talking for a whole hour. I don't think we've had any trouble with that, have we? We've talked about pride tonight, which is another form of vanity, I suppose. But if you have some ideas about that, and maybe you'll be a little braver next week, you can always call and tell me your views. Love to hear about miracles. Love to hear about angel stories. Always those aha moments to share with the world, those authentic moments in one's life. Love to hear about those, and I love people to trust and to know that we'll share those with you in a world of kindness. I have to sign off right about now. They tell me I need to be off by 26 after. So my name is Ben Elaine Ireland, is still Elaine Ireland. This has been Going Global for Spirit. With Elaine Ireland on bbsradio.com, the number one worldwide internet talk radio network on the planet. Join us next week. And remember that thoughts are things, so have great ones. A friend of mine says it better, I think. See you on the spiritual highway. That's what David Griffin says. See you on the spiritual highway. Come back and join us next week. we'll have Kathleen Avino. Thank you for being with me tonight. Those of you that stuck with me, come back next week. Thank you. Good night.